of the Shah Abdul Rahim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. He is the father of Shah Mujibullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Many say that it was Shah Abdul Rahim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali that was responsible to bring about Hadith into India. There are those that say that it was Shah Waliullah Sahib, and there are those that say that it was his father that brought the Hadith initially. Whatever it may be, but it was a lineage of gold. If there was something more precious than gold, you would have said that it was gold. It was that thing. So it was this family that brought the Hadith. In every profession, when you look at the personality, this is the person, and he achieved, these are the things that he's achieved. And then what was his lifestyle? How did he achieve this? This is what we look at. Alright, this man here, he's a personality, he's a luminary, and these were the achievements. But we would like to know what was his lifestyle, because there was something in his life that brought him to this end. So we'd like to see a person's lifestyle. But if we need to imitate, try to imitate this type of people that made something in life, that brief stay, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, what was their life, what was their outlook, how did they look at life? So this Shah Abdul Rahim Sahib, that is the father of Shah Waliullah Sahib Rahmatullah, he went out of the house and he sees a dog shivering in the cold, messed up in mud, shivering in the cold. So he takes it, grabs it. He initially asked the Khadim to take it, because he was rushing off. King had called him and he was rushing off. But the Khadim didn't seem to be very keen. He says, alright, it's not a problem, it's not a big deal. If you don't want to do it, I will do it myself. This is all a reflection of the personality. So you don't want to do it, so right, I'll do it myself. And for this occasion, he's dressed up very well. The king has called him, so he's dressed up well. Now these people, every step of this is calculated. There was one very pious woman. Then, when it is after Isha and the husband, she's receiving the husband, she would dress up very well. The little bit of permissible makeup, and good clothing, whatever it was, beautiful, attractive, she would make herself up at the time of the night and spend some time with the husband if he needs some attention. So she would offer that attention. And then when she's seen, now the husband is nothing now. Alright, now allow me. Then she would wear her own clothes, own little bit of very simple clothes, and the whole night would go in tahajjud, whole night crying to Allah Ta'ala, dedicating herself. Now this is called mindset, understanding. The occasion where she needed to adorn herself, she adorned herself. She wore good clothing. And where she needed to wear a simple garb, she wore a simple garb. Now this comes when a person has got the right understanding of deen. The right understanding of deen says to the woman that when you're going out, then dress in a very simple attire. But when you are for your husband, then you dress as good as possible. You don't have a smell coming out. You're not wearing clothing that are torn now. He's bought you good clothing and you can afford it. Then do something to make yourself presentable and attractive to him. See that you don't have any offensive smells. See that you are attractive. See that you are the permissible makeup that you can, like Suma you've got, a little bit of Mendi you've got. So do all these things here. Now that was for the husband. And for the outside, simple clothes was alright. A pajama you can wear, go around, so no problem. As long as it's covering your whole self, no guna for that. But now when there isn't the understanding of deen, what will happen is, when you're going out, then all the makeup is put. All the hairstyles are all the hairstyles, the best of attire, the best of shoes, best of stockings, looking at the mirror 20 times before you can go to any type of an occasion. And then if it's a wedding, one type of a dress, then the following day it's a walima, is another type of dress. So it's an indication that they are jahil. They may have learned a lot, they have read up a lot, but there's jahalat in that house. That is why we encourage the participation in talim. That the talim will give you the right type of understanding. After all, everything is said and done, you spend so much of money to do the occasion and dress up for that occasion, and then when you come up on the day of Qiyamah and Allah says zero, you got 0 marks for this occasion, for this day you got 0 marks, 0%. Allah huwa al-khusranul mubin. Allah says that is real failure. You know, failure, khasira is failure. So that's a real failure. Imagine you work 2 years, and at the end of the term I say you're a failure. How do you feel? And at the time, you can't reverse anything. One is, alright, I failed today, let me try tomorrow. Now you're being told that you failed, and you failed miserably, khusran al-mubin, at a time that you can't reverse it, then can there be a failure bad as this person? So there need to make talim daily. Regularly, daily. See, otherwise what happens? The mind takes a different turn, total different turn. Man feels that my goal in life is just to turn the digits, increase it all the time. That's my whole goal. I've got enough, that enough is not enough. So I will be boastful if I can turn the digits, if I can see more, better, and I will be boastful about it. But if it is that I had the tawfiq of reading a little bit more Quran Sharif, I say, well, one of those things now, I don't feel so great about it. See the wording of the Quran. That's what I say, that we are reading too much, we are listening to too many bayans. But what we are not doing is pondering over what we are reading, what we are coming across. Do we reflect? Do we think about it? See, the Quran Sharif says, bifadlillahi وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَفْرْحُ. Alright, you are a man, you need to rejoice, to please yourself. But what is the thing that you need to rejoice with? Right. You can rejoice now, I went for a pry, or rejoice. I bought a property, I'm rejoicing. Or I got a garage now, I'm rejoicing at that. That thing is turning, it's turning a gold mine for me, I'm rejoicing. So, what is Allah Ta'ala saying? What is the thing to be rejoicing at? Bifadlillahi wa birahmati, the grace of Allah Ta'ala and His blessings. This is the thing that you need to be rejoicing. Now the question is, what is meant by the grace of Allah Ta'ala and what is meant by the mercy of Allah Ta'ala? Because the words are explained by those people that had heard Nabi Sallam directly. So what is the thing that you need supposed to be rejoicing at? بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُ. Like if I receive someone, you know, for example, that bought a house, for example, for 70 million, I talk about it. So that means that world has got some place in my heart for me to discuss it. If he had no impression on my heart, I wouldn't have discussed it. The fact that I'm discussing it shows that that thing has left a deep mark in my mind. Rabia Basariya Rahmatullah Aliha, Waliya of her time, right? And she passed away in a very strange manner, right? As she's lowered into the grave, and normal procedures that you go through, the Munkar, Nakir, etc. So they came to interrogate her, asking her, what is your kalima, mar rabbuk, Madinuk, they ask him a normal procedure. So she asks, she returns, reverts the whole question around, that I want to know from you that what's the distance that you have covered? When you have come to me, what's the distance that you have covered? I said, well, it's a distance of 50,000 years. So that's the distance that you have covered from the heavens to here. 50,000 years you have covered. Alright, I want to know from you that you have covered this distance, but in the process have you forgotten Allah Ta'ala? I said, no. Then how do you expect Rabia Basariya to forget Allah Ta'ala when she's just lower 2 meters down? You came 50,000 years and you didn't forget, and you want Rabia to forget Allah Ta'ala just 2 meters down. Now this is where the people who understood right, who would apply themselves right, deen became the thing to rejoice about. This is what they live for. This is what they got, that, you know, we say acquired the taste. They acquired the taste of deen. So they thought differently, they reasoned differently, they understood differently, they saw things differently. Allah Ta'ala brought them to the right ends, because they've seen things like that. And now we are seeing things differently, whether educated, non-educated, hafiz, ulama, or non. But everybody thinks it's like a different world we are living in. Nobody thinks like the past. As Rabia has got two men, outwardly they look like very pious, ulama, etc. And she's got them as her guest. And they are talking something about, you know, how disgusting is the dunya, you know, dunya, and the disgust, how disgusting dunya is. So the Rabia radiallahu anha says to them, I think you better, people better get up and move away. But we weren't discussing anything wrong. Yes. It seems like the dunya has left a deep mark in your hearts. Because it was really contemptible, disgusting, you would have been discussing it. Number two, it's disgusting, right? Do you discuss it with your friends? No, you don't discuss it. But you're talking about this, seems like it's left a mark in your heart. So, can you say any of our gatherings is void of the discussion of a Merc, or a Rolls Royce, or a property, or an investment? Is it void? Anywhere there's a discussion, something of wealth must come in. So the person whose mind is not polluted, he also gets affected. Listen to it again, and again for the third time, and the fourth time. By the 20th time, that thing left a mark in the heart again. Hey, I need to do something also. He's doing something. What about myself? I'm broken down Johnny, I'm in their presence. So I got no face to show them. So I need to have something. So we lost the mark. See, I see it's a general apathy. We have lost the mark. We don't realize what are the goals, what are we supposed to be heading for. How aptly Allah Pak says, Al-Hakumut Takasur Hatta Zurtumul Maqabir. The mutual rivalry of piling wealth has distracted you. The mutual rivalry of what? Of piling up wealth has distracted you, has moved you off. So that's become the goal. That's become the whole essence of life. How much I can make, how much I made, what have I done for this month, for this year, what I've seen, comparing. So that's how we are seeing life. So if that is how we are looking at life, then we are lost. Really, we are lost. And the word of the Quran is so true. Al-Hakumut Takasur, the mutual rivalry of piling wealth has distracted you, pushed you off the course. Distracted you means, now imagine a train is thrown off the track. Can it make any progress? So by the same token, when Allah Pak says you've been distracted, you've moved off, then are you making any progress? Is it possible for you to make any progress? So now, we're coming again to the verse, قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُ. Alright, we need something to hold on to and to rejoice at, to be pleased at, something. So Allah Ta'ala says, it's بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ. But then now, look at the Quran and see what is the explanation of the Quran Sharif. What does the Quran Sharif refer to? بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ. The Quran and the Hadith. What is bifadlillah? Fadlillah means the Quran. Rahmat means the Hadith. So it's either the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam or the Quran Sharif. These are the things that you need to be happy about, rejoicing about. I got the Quran Sharif. I read so much, alhamdulillah. Today I didn't waste my time. I came a little bit earlier to the masjid. I read so much more. 2 rukus here, 4 rukus here. I did my Yasin Sharif, I did my zikrs. I made talim. That was the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What is talim? Talim is the compilation of the ways of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the pious. So that is the sunnah and this is the Quran. So you got the both, then isn't it a thing to be rejoicing? Now if we rejoice, if I made 20 million in the days, hey, for the next 2 months I'll sing about the song. One day I hit 20. 20 bars, I hit it. How excited I get. But where we supposed to be getting excited, really, we don't get that excitement. That means that our iman needs to be corrected. See, the whole effort here of tasawuf is to get your iman corrected. Although if you see your iman is corrected, then why need to rejoice with the recitation of the Quran Sharif and the recitation of the hadith and the sunnah as you rejoice when you got 20 mil. And for a matter of fact, even if someone brought, say, 20 mil to the madrasa, I'll talk about, hey, you know what a pious person that person is. 20 mil he brought. But if someone came here and in one corner he sat and read one Quran Sharif, you know, made some talim, made a lot of dua for the madrasa, for everything else, I won't think about it as a big thing. But that person who brought the 20 mil, how much will I hold him in respect and esteem? That person that made dua, he cried to Allah Ta'ala, he shed some tears, made dua for the upliftment of deen, for the madrasa, whatever. I supposed to be more excited. Not that I don't appreciate this, but I supposed to be really excited with that person here. That person is shown scant regard. That means we are off the track. All of us. All of us are thrown off the track. That's why we can't make the progress. We're looking now, why am I not making the progress? I'm still stuck at the same point. So, bifadlillahi wa bi rahmati. We're talking about the Shah Ibn Rahim Sahib Rahmatullahi, this branch of it. The soul also got a lot of branches, eh? But if you hold on to one, then the branches come right. See, like, for example, you talk of jealousy, right? It's one tree. But the branches of it are phenomenal. Out of jealousy will come hate, right? Hate you. I'm jealous, eh? His business is prospering. I'm still that broken Johnny. I'm still selling that. 4x4, same little business I'm doing, and see how he's prospering. So first it'll be hatred. At the second level, first it'll be jealousy, from jealousy to hatred, from hatred to ghibat, from ghibat to malice, right? And then from malice, somehow to conspire to break you down. But you see that one tree, and you see the branches that's coming off the tree. One tree, and the tree, how much of branches? Shaitan, the first thing that hit him was jealousy. And from jealousy then, everything else broke out. Call it pride, call it jealousy, then the jealousy came about. Then how to smash Adam alayhi salam? Then how to smash his zurriyat? لَأَحْتَنِّكَنَّ وَزُرِّيَّتَهُ We will throw them out of the road. So from pride, then to jealousy, then to smashing down, then to leading to Jahannam. But one tree, what it has done. So, the problem in this day, when I look at it, you know, we can talk of multiple things, right? But I feel that the root of the problem is, we don't sit down and think, reflect. No reflection. So when that's the root of the problem, then we need to reflect. But then, there are those who can reflect, who can think and ponder, those that can't. If they started off from Makkah, they think from Makkah, right? For example, imagine they're by Makkah Sharif, right, in Namaz. The next moment they're in Jamaat now, right, for 4 months. 4 months, they said, all right, our Jamaat is going to Australia, Sydney now. Hey, what is the things to watch there, you know? It mustn't be that my wife and children will ask me that you went to Australia and these were the tourist sites. We didn't see that site. Now, how to make a plan with the Amir? See where your pondering is going. How to make a plan with the Amir to be able to visit the tourist site? So we say, no, Mona, you know, it must be a happy Jamaat, you know. So we'll go happily. So we'll want to go to Jamaat again. So make a plan, let us go for the tourist side. But all that is coming into your thinking pattern. Right? Until it becomes a reality. So someone, when he's pondering, that his mind is running away with him. So he needs one person with him to be able to help him thinking correctly and coming to the right line. If he's going off, he's bringing him back. If he's doing the right thing, he's thinking the right thing, then he's supporting him. And he's going off, he's bringing him back. He's going off, he's bringing him back. So someone requires that. And someone can do it himself. So, dependent on your case, how you are, and you think properly yourself, isolated, or when you have one, two persons with you. So the problem starts off at this point, where we have left thinking. If our thing, if there is a thing like thought and proof and understanding, it's only about accumulating. Alright, how can I make more? One shop, two shops. I got one product, two products, right? I got one thing, then two. It carries on. On the day of Qiyamah, how serious the sight is, on the day of Qiyamah. Man appears before Allah Ta'ala, and he says to Allah Ta'ala, O Allah Ta'ala, the malaika, anbiya, are bearing witness against me. I'm not prepared to listen to the evidence at all. They standing as evidence, as witness against me, I'm not prepared to listen. I'm only prepared to listen if there's a witness from within me. I, my being, must bear witness and bear testimony against me for me to accept it. That is, I don't want to accept it. So Allah Ta'ala will order in command that the tongue must be sealed, finished, class, you can't speak. Then, Hatta idha ma ja'uha shahida alayhim sam'uhum wa absaruhum wa juluduhum. Now, your hearing will talk. Right? Your eyes will begin to talk. Your limbs will begin to talk. Your very skin will begin to talk. And you complaining against your limbs, lima shahidtum alayna. Why do you bear witness against me? They're telling Allah Ta'ala exactly that this person here, the eyes talking, the ears speaking, that this day, this was the thing that he listened to. This day, this is the thing that he spoke about. This is the thing that he saw. So, the graphic details of all your actions are being spoken about, Allah Ta'ala is giving it to you, everything. From your own being. Now, when you asked it to be from your own being, then from your own being, from your own person, there is a witness from your own self. Now, how are you going to reject that? Your own self is bearing testimony against yourself. You are giving testimony against yourself. So, can you reject that? So then, when that happens, the man will say, بُعْدًا لَكُنَّ وَسُحْكًا فَعَنْ كُنَّ كُنْتُ أُنَادِلْ. Away with you. Get away. You know, I was doing all this for your comfort. Eyes for your, the comfort of yourself, I used to see all these things here. Ears, you know, for your comfort, I was listening to these things here. Tongue, for your comfort, I was listening and I was talking about these things. My limbs and organs, I was doing it for your comfort. Today, you are bearing testimony against me. I did all these things for you, and today, you are bearing testimony against me. So, فَبُعْدًا لَكُنَّ وَسُحْكًا. So this point is a very important point. See, we don't think about it. We don't understand how serious it is. And we don't realize it. We're just progressing. Just now, just a few years ago, perhaps you were 40 years of age, now you're 50. Someone was 30, now he's 40. Someone is 50, he's going to 60. Notice how rapid this change comes about. We're just there, in a few moments, and you are 60. A few moments, and you are 70. And then you say, game's up. Don't you say that? Then everything begins to fail within you. So when you start off the day, you know, when you start off a day, the day calls out, the hadith says the day calls out. And it announces to you. What it announces, that listen, I am a new day. Whatever you're going to be doing, it's going to be recorded. And I am going to bear witness against you or for you. Listen, I am a new day. Whatever you're going to be doing, whatever actions you're going to be doing, is going to be recorded. And I, the day is calling out and telling you that whatever you're going to be doing is going to be recorded. I am going to bear testimony for you or against you. And remember that you rather do something for yourself. Because when I go away, then I'll never be returned. Today perhaps is the 4th, right, of November. Or the 13th of Safar, right? We read the Fajr Namaz this morning by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, right? Only by His grace. Can we ever do the Fajr Namaz again? It's gone, you can't repeat it. You have to just appreciate every second. The second that came, the second that passed. So every second has to be appreciated. This is the message that the day is giving to you every day. I've come to you, I'm a new day. And whatever you can accumulate within me. Because remember, when I'm gone, then you can never return, you can never reverse. It's gone after that. Khalas. So we're talking of Hazrat Shah Abdul Rahim Sahib Rahmatullahi. And I explained just now that you have to discuss these personalities to appreciate them. When you're looking at them as luminaries, what they brought, they were responsible to bring hadith into the India. Imagine, over 250, 300 years ago, India didn't have that level of hadith. And they were the families that brought it, right? But then, what was their personality like? Is it right for us only to talk about the academic achievements and not talk about the personality? Is it right? Is it fair? We talk all right, this and this. But then, the own personality, we don't discuss them, really, it's half the story. In fact, not even half the story. Three quarter of the story is the person's behavior, ways, etc. And quarter is the academic. Right? So there was a discussion. I think several students were asking. Because the students go to every masjid now. They go see one poster here, one poster there, one poster there. So now, hey, you know that one Qari Sahib is coming. And he's clean shaven. How is it that if we attend the Qiraat? That was a question. I think over 10-12 students came and asked the same question. Either they were talking for themselves or representing others. But there were several people, our students have been, they discuss it amongst themselves. Hey, one of its kind, tops. Yeah, but someone is saying it's not right. So now that thing comes to our lap now. You know, our laptop. So it came eventually, several students. So think now, how to explain the student at his level? Because I can explain at my level, but now to explain it to the level of the student. Student now, he's got a wandering mind. Now to bring him into one train of thought, it requires a little bit of thinking. How do you get him right? I asked him, see if a Qari Sahib is wearing a t-shirt, right, tight jeans, with earrings, bangles and bracelets, right, the punk haircut, with a beer can near him, right? And he's giving a qiraat, one of his style. Will you ask him to attend the program at your masjid? Why? I ask you now, what's the difference between this Qari Sahib, so all these things here, all these baggages, against the Qari Sahib that doesn't have a beard? I ask you, what's the difference? If there's a difference, show it to me. If there isn't a difference, then why are you selective? Are you going to call him to a Qari class? You know, you're the world rated best Qari Sahib. If he's the best Qari Sahib, you must come and teach my Qari students. Will you do that? For one day, you only to get your barakat. Students will ask, what barakat is this person going to pass on? Is it the beard that he's going to pass on? Or the earrings? Or the punk haircut? What barakat is he going to pass on? So, Hazrat Ji Ahmed's words ring in the mind. This is, Muslimano ne Hindustan ki hukumat ko kho diya. Kyun? Sochna band kar diya. They ruled over India for 800 years, that is to say, approximately. But they lost the whole control. Why? They forgot thinking, pondering, understanding, putting things in perspective. It is not just material. Qaruna, Fir'auna, Hawan. What wealth these people have had. Just the keys to the treasures. Just the keys to the treasures so much that a whole body of strong, able people couldn't carry it. So what he had? Today, any of our wealthy people, can they equal to Qarun? But then what was the end? Khasafna bi Allah sunk him, swallowed him to the ground. So if that was a thing of achievement, we should have gone behind Qarun. But there's not a thing of achievement. And for a matter of fact, nobody knows where and which spot of the earth had sunken him and swallowed him. But Musa alayhi salam, everybody knows. Ismail alayhi salam, everybody knows. They talk about him, they praise him, extol his virtues. Don't, it doesn't happen every day. Surah Asam, every place, every masjid, every Muslim takes his name every day. An English historian is writing about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Look, we're talking of wealth. Talking about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I can't stop extolling the virtues of a personality who left the world without a penny in his pocket, but with the world at his feet. Without a penny in his pocket, but with the world at his feet. That means it was something else that he was looking at. If he is the Imam, and we want to be the muqtadi, we need to have the same niyat. It was not rants and sins. And if we want to be in joining him, then the niyat is off. See, you see, it's an English person, right? And he or she is writing. But you know, it says, I can't stop extolling the virtues of the person who left the world without a penny in his pocket, but with the world at his feet. So that means the world also understands it's something else. There's a different dimension to life. It is not just wealth. Yes, a little bit of wealth just to keep you right is alright. Enough. But to make that the focus, the central, everything, just wealth, wealth, wealth. I got it. I'm moving. I don't have it. I'm a loser. I'm a failure in life. You don't stand. You have no status in society, really, we've gone off. And repeatedly, the thought comes to my mind. As a Shaykh, I must have been inspired, I'm convinced, to write that Fazail al-Sadaqah. Because Nabi Sam shows what is the reason for the failure of this ummah. Hubbu dunya. Clear words, no ambiguity. That is an obsession with wealth. That is going to bring about your destruction. You're obsessed with wealth, right? The whole thinking goes off. I can't make it. Financing. So casually, financing. Financing. Is that the style of Nabi Sam? Was that his style? Was that his way? The permissibility, impermissibility is the secondary thing. But is this type of lifestyle, is that the style of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? I must make that goal. For that goal, whatever I need to put in place, I must do it. But I must reach that goal. So that's become the thought. I need to reach that goal. Whatever I need to put in place, I must do it. But I must reach that goal. Otherwise, log mujhe kya kahenge? What will people say? So this verse says, "Huwa khayrun mimma yajma'un," the Quran and the Hadith. Recite the Quran Sharif, Kitab reading. So the Quran and the Hadith. This is far better, khayrun mimma yajma'un, than all the wealth that you accumulate. You know, we hold it in such esteem, so much of respect. But I tell you, I just ask you a simple question for you to understand this whole complicated equation. So such a complicated equation, but I ask you a simple question. Say, for example, you died now, right? Your body is lying here. And Malakul Maut will tell you, just for example, gave you a chance, gave you a break, right? I give you another 5 minutes. Maybe I didn't pull your soul out, but I'm here, I'm giving you another 5 minutes. After 5 minutes, you're going. No, this is irreversible, not negotiable. In this 5 minutes, do you want the world's wealth? Or do you want 2 rakats of namaz, sincerity, devotion, focus? What do you want? So all that doesn't even have the value of 2 rakats. If you are thinking right, you'll understand that it doesn't have the value of even 2 rakats. Now look at another situation, right? The man's body is lying here, right? Body is lying here. Just now, that world had that virtue, that significance, that importance, right? Now that his eyes is closed, does it have any value? That plane that he had, that car that he had, that business that he had, any value? Does it have anything? So that is what I'm saying. We are not putting our minds to the right places, not thinking correctly. Either our thinking is gone off, or we are not talking to the right class of people. Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah says that if it's a person that doesn't have hubud dunya, he's not consumed, right? He's not consumed with wealth. If the worst shaitans come and sit next to him, they can't affect him. But the person outwardly seems to be pious, but he's consumed with wealth. He sits in the gathering of the most pious people, he can't get affected. That influence of theirs, their righteousness, won't go, not going to affect him. Because he's drowned with that wealth. When he's drowning, how are you going to correct the person? He's drowned already. So can you bring him up? Anyway, we start off with the Shah Abdul Rahim Sahib. Maybe he's Burqa, then we're talking about these other things, right? Sidetracking. So he's out of the house and he sees that dog that is shivering in the cold, drowned, messed up in that mud. And he speaks to his khadim. Khadim is showing some attitude. He says, no, don't worry. Took it himself. Washed that thing nicely, hot water. It's winter, so he gave it some warmth. But he was summoned to the king. And because he was summoned to the king, so he had to go. And he asked some of his house people that you look after this thing here. And if you can't, I'll look after it myself. So he said, no, we'll look after it. When he saw, he rolled up his seals, he sleeves himself. He said, no, we'll take care of this thing here. It needs some medication. We'll apply the medication, give it. So anyway, he went, came back, whatever the king had summoned him for. It was an Islamic rule at the time in India. So whatever the discussion was, he returned. After a few years or so, now he had to go for a Jummah, right? You can imagine a person is dressed up for Jummah, what type of clothing he is wearing, right? This incident is a simple incident, but I want to illustrate to you the mindset. What was the mindset like? So he's prepared for Jummah, he's dressed up, kurta and whatever, what else. And now he has to cross over a small drain. And the drain has got a small footpath, you know, a plank to cross over. Before you used to see these things, now you hardly see these things, right? Small footpath, just one person can just manage over. So he's going across that. From the opposite direction, a dog is coming in. Now they're both stuck up, because it's just enough space for one person to pass. Either me or you. So as he's stuck up there, so he says to the dog as though he's talking to it. Some people, Allah blesses them, that they can communicate. Whatever language, however they're communicating, they're communicating. He says to the dog, please can you step down? I need to go for Jummah. So the dog tells him, what's so great about you that I must jump down? Can't you jump down? So he speaks to the dog and he says, you see, I have to fulfill an obligation of namaz, Jummah namaz. And for that obligation to be executed correctly, I need to be paak. If I'm going to be napaak, I'm going to jump into this, I'll become napaak. When I'm napaak, I have to go home back, clean up, wash up, bath, etc., put on new clothes, and then proceed. But you have got no obligation. You don't have an obligation to perform namaz. You don't have an obligation to be paak. I'm obligated. You don't have an obligation. So the dog then says, all right, what you're saying makes sense. It's right what you're saying. But if it is, you are saying what you are saying with one iota of pride, right? One iota of pride, right? You're saying whatever you're saying. I'll jump in and I'll get washed and I'll come out. But if you are saying whatever you are saying but with an iota of pride, forget your bath. Even the water of the seven oceans won't be able to clean you. The Shah Abdul Rahim Sahib was so overwhelmed. He said, hey, this is fantastic knowledge, man. This is fantastic knowledge. I have been blessed with this knowledge. So he jumped in straight away as a token of appreciation to what I got from this dog here. So as a token, he jumped in and he reversed, he went back, cleaned himself, changed the clothes, etc., then proceeded for namaz. Allah Ta'ala then inspired the Shah Abdul Rahim Sahib. Okay, you know, how did we bless you with this knowledge? We blessed you in this manner, that you had shown some mercy, some kindness to its folk. Its jinns, its folk, right? So we didn't want that your favor should overwhelm that thing. We don't want you to, you know, to be superior in any way, that you are overwhelmed, you have overwhelmed him with your grace and with your mercy and your kindness. Rather, we want it to be squared. So you cannot show at any time that your grace was overwhelming to the dog. Rather, it squared the whole thing up. Because if you show it kindness, then its folk has already blessed you with this type of knowledge. So the whole level has been squared up. See that this type of knowledge, where they get it from? How Allah Ta'ala blesses them. So this comes as a result, it's a product of correctly thinking, pondering, understanding, where are we going to pray? What are we doing? Kahan ja rahe? Where are we off to? See this journey is something else. And for this journey, the right type of preparation is required. We're talking about the bifadlillah, the Quran Sharif, right? And that is the thing to be rejoicing. So rejoice in this world, rejoice in the hereafter, rejoicing right across. We need to be rejoicing all the time. So Allah says, I will give it to you. And I will give it to you on four occasions. One is at the time of death, right? I'll give it to you. When you need it, I'll give it to you at that time. So at that time the malaika come and they present themselves before you, Malakul Maut around, and say, Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna, right? Soul that is compliant, right? Udkhuli fi rawhi wa rihani wa rabbin ghayra ghadbanin. Come into the threshold, come into the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, into enjoyment, into happiness. And the Rabb that is pleased with you, come. Then it's also conveying, Salamun qawlam min Rabbir Rahim. The time of death, you're lucky. Then an additional bonus, take the salams from your Rabb directly. Imagine what will be the level of your excitement. The excitement that you will get at that time, that you're getting the salams of Allah Ta'ala from the farishta direct to you. How do you feel? Allah Ta'ala is sending his salams. If Nabi Sam sends salam for someone, for the rest of the day, what happens to you? You're so excited, so thrilled. And if Allah Ta'ala himself is sending salams, then he is salam and he is sending salams to you. Then what else? Or kuch chahiye? Do you need anything else? So when you have got yourself shaped correctly, then the crucial moments of your life, crucial moments, you're getting support. You don't feel depressed, you don't feel overwhelmed, you don't feel concerned, chaoga, anxiety, you don't have an anxiety attack. Why? Allah Ta'ala hai, Allah Ta'ala will do it for me. I don't need to worry. I got him. Ni'am al-Mawla wa ni'am al-Wakil, he's the best. Can you find anyone better than him? He's the best. If there's anything to be done, then he will do it, and he will do it in the best manner. And there can't be anybody above him. So when he's promising you, assuring you that I will do it, I will do it to the best. So is there any reason for you to get ghabrat? Any type of anxiety? So that is the one time that you get the special attention of Allah Ta'ala, malaika coming in. The second time that you get the malaika coming in and honoring you again is when you get up from the grave. Second time. So one at the time of death, one is when you're getting up, then to the saying, come. Nothing to worry about, come, we are on your side. As though you're moving now, to whichever land, you're moving, to Durban or wherever, and you got an escort of all that blue cars, 50, 500 you got. Anything to worry about. From above you got a helicopter coming up, from the sides you've got blue cars, flashing the lights all the time. Anything to worry about. No worry by all the honors. I'm getting all these things here. Don't you think like that? Right through I got escort. Above, aerial cover, ground cover. So, by Allah Ta'ala, when you showed that type of concern for Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala will show you, you did what you could do. He will do according to His majesty and magnanimity. What can you do? How much can you do? You did that broken, tutti-putti effort you made. But you did according to what you could do. And He will grant you according to His magnanimity. So that's the second time. Third time, whilst you're in the grave, then again they come up. Hey, Malaika are there. And they come in the form of the most beautiful friend. Most beautiful friend. One person is guarding a fortress, right? And he's shot by an arrow. So as he shot, as he's just fainting, and he shrieked loudly, Allahu Akbar. He came up again. When he came up, so they asked him, why did you shriek like that? You know, you fell down and then you just shrieked. So he said, I shrieked because when I was in the state of unconsciousness, when I was shot down, then I saw my hurs. And I couldn't, you know, that beauty was so much, it was so much, so overwhelming. I couldn't resist. And I want to stretch my hand. When I want to stretch my hand, the one who said, bhai, the nikah is zuhar time, eh? Not now. We only halal after zuhar. Because you can't, premarital is not permissible. That who also knows it. That premarital is not permissible. Any type of relation, premarital is not permissible, not halal. So that who is whining, why just take care now. Nikah is not over yet. Only zuhar time, nikah is done, then we'll be together. Now he told them, now he came up again, he's looking after the fortress. Another arrow came. Exactly just at zuhar time, and then he's gone. See, the rule told him, our nikah is at zuhar time. Precisely at zuhar time, that arrow came, shot him, gone. Khuda ke pyare ho gaye. Huro ke pyare ho gaye. So, even in your grave, Allah Pak is taking care. And it becomes so much, your heart will explode in that excitement. The founder of Mazahir al-Ulum is Mawlana Mazhar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. So I was explaining to someone. Even if his wife had fallen ill, right, he would take leave from the madrasa to look after his wife. And this person had understanding of deen. He's leaving now. Imagine the madrasa now, generally in India you find people that are madrasa, there's nothing as important to them as madrasa. Now the whole world can turn around, they're not worried about it. Madrasa, the duties, they're so consumed with deen that they're not worried about the world. Nothing. We used to go meet Qari's Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah, sometimes feeling ill, you know. He's the head of the madrasa, Darul Ulum Deoband, 50 years, time of all the buzrugs, right till we were there. So we'll ask him now, although you're not feeling well, we heard you're not feeling well. So his answer was too beautiful. He says, kaam mein aisi masroofiyat hai, ke tabiyat ki taraf tawajjuh karne ki ka waqt bhi nahi milta. I'm so engrossed, so consumed, that I don't have the time to think about how I'm feeling. That means he must be enjoying so much in deeni work, that the level of enjoyment in deeni work was so much, everything has been nothing to him. So this Mazhar Sahib, we're talking of Rahmatullah Alayh. So in 1857, there was a war against the English, they call it the mutiny. In Urdu, they call it Khadar, right? So he had participated in that war, and he had been shot down. Right? Someone used to see him, he survived, he came up again, he survived, lived for another 30, 40 years. He passed away. So someone saw him, that when he observed him very closely, he's always licking his lower lip. He's always licking his lower lip. So I said, what is this now? You know, you see everything else, but you didn't see anybody licking the lower lip all the time. What is this all about? So they ask him, but no, otherwise you have to say it. You can't keep this as a secret. You need to say what happened. He says, you see that mutiny, I was shot, right? And I saw the hoods already. I saw the whole picture, and they were passing on some type of a sherbet. You can't talk, don't forget the shape of the glass, that was something else. Then the taste was something else. And the wolves were serving it themselves personally. And they came up to me, and one just came and passed it to me. And I had just touched it on my lip. And the other wolf came and said, hey, his time is not yet up. You can't pass it on to him. So the wolf can make a mistake, right? They could also make a mistake. That is reminding by his time is not up. So then he pushed him away. So he says, from that time to now, it's only 35, 40 years, but I get that taste and enjoyment, you know. And that enjoyment, that feeling is so great, just to bring me that comfort. I just lick my lip and I feel so comfortable about it. See, that one glimpse of Jannah, everything is forgotten. Everything. Just one glimpse. Allah Pak mein naseeb kar. So that's the third time that you have an encounter with the malaika, special friends of Allah Ta'ala. I say one glimpse is enough for you to forget dunya or mafi, everything. It's one glimpse. So you see how insignificant the dunya is and how significant the akhirah is. Just one glimpse makes you forget everything. And the fourth, some of our mashayikh say, ulama say, that this tatanazzalu alayhimul malaika is also every day in your life. You're straight, you're following right, simple Muslim. Be a simple, ordinary Muslim, right? You don't have to be a sophisticated Muslim. Simple, straightforward, clear, clean-hearted. Doing things straight. No crooked, anky-panky, no. Go straight. Not doing financing and saying, no, I'm doing all the right things. Doing the right things. Clear, simple life, right? So you get a malaika coming and supporting you every day. Maybe you don't see them, but they give you that encouragement. Tahajjud time, they come, hey, Azad, you slept enough now? Get up. They're getting you up. By that time, they get up. Hey, you better leave the shop now. Move on. So you feel miserable in the shop. Azan goes and if you shoot direct to the masjid. They're giving you the support. They're giving you that encouragement. Imam Ahmad Ibn Hanbal Rahmatullah Ali had seen Allah Ta'ala in his dream. When we talk about the Quran Sharif. And this is the thing that you need to hold on to. So he asked Allah Ta'ala, what is the easiest way, the best way, the most effective way to gain your proximity? What is the most effective and easy way to gain your proximity? So Allah Ta'ala replies, the recitation of the Quran Sharif. What is his reply? Recitation of the Quran Sharif. So he asked Allah Ta'ala, be fahmin or be ghairi fahmin, with understanding the Quran or without understanding, both ways, with the understanding, without the understanding. It's the word of Allah Ta'ala. How pleased will Allah Ta'ala be when you're kissing it, you're reading it, and you're understanding that it is my Allah Ta'ala, that it's the word of Allah Ta'ala that I'm repeating. Not my words, it's His words. And He's honored me that I can just repeat His words. The word that came from Him directly. Came from Him. When it came from Him, and He's honored me so much that I got the blessings of just repeating His words. So what an honor. And that relish, that enjoyment, Allah Pak's words. Allah Pak has allowed me. Allah Pak has favored me to read His words. I'm so favored. Bifadlillahi, fabi dhalika falyafrahu. You're reading it and you're enjoying. You're reading it and you're enjoying. And then, the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, Quran, the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, Durood Sharif, whatever it is, in whatever state you are, whether wuzu, no wuzu, whether you're lying down, but any state, Allah Pak says, oh, I give you an open charter, open license to take it. Do, take my name. Whether you wuzu, without wuzu, Durood Sharif, Quran Sharif, anything. Now, some people become a little bit more cautious, right? And then that takes them to bidat, right? Say, no, you can't take the name of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam without wuzu. What they say? Now this type of, alright, you're coming with the right spirit, but it's taking you to bidat. Allah Pak is allowing you to take His name without wuzu. Right? Then can't you take Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's name without wuzu? Allah Pak is allowed. You can recite the Quran Sharif without wuzu. Take my name without wuzu, but take my, don't forget me. You're getting up in the morning, you're getting up with wuzu. Are you getting up with wuzu? See? You're getting up without wuzu, but you say, Alhamdulillah, Allah ahyana. Don't you say that. Without wuzu, you're reciting the dua. So Allah Pak is allowing you to take His name without wuzu. When you came out of the toilet, and you said, Ghufranaka, Alhamdulillah, were you with wuzu? See? You broke your wuzu. Everything was broken down. Right? But Allah Pak still allowed you, He honored you to take His name. Now again, you bring up some new thing in deen. Now, hey, you know what? So much of respect that I take the name of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with wuzu. Oh, you're off. Don't add this emotional feelings. You're going to emotionalize the whole thing. You'll lose the plot. You will go and do things where you're not supposed to be doing. Though it is done in the right type of mind, right, with that love. But you're going overboard. When you're going overboard, what you're supposed to be doing, you're not doing it. Sleeping with your family, reading a dua, Allahumma jannimna shaitan. I would do that time. So, you see, you're complicating things. All whole complication. Just keep the deen as it was. Don't complicate it. Simple, pure, clean. Practice it. Wallah, there isn't a thing as enjoyable as deen. I can tell you with conviction. Really, there isn't a thing as enjoyable as deen. But just try it out, experiment. Do the namaz rightly, the zikr rightly. Whatever it is about deen, but do it nicely, and you'll find there isn't a thing as enjoyable as deen. Yes, in the beginning, because you're a toddler, right? To introduce a solid to you becomes difficult, right? To wean you of the milk and introduce the solids becomes a little bit difficult, right? But when you get used to it, then is it any more difficult? Now once the name of Allah has come, now you recite, Allah blessed you with the Quran Sadiq. So you're sitting here, walking, talking, driving, but you're reciting Quran Sharif. What a pleasure. Just Alhamdu, not Alhamdulillah. Alhamdu, only that 5 words, right? And straight away you cashed in for 50 sawabs. You just said Alhamdu, right? You didn't even still complete Lillah, but straight away Allah has commanded the Malaika, angels, just cash the person, 50 rewards. Wallah, if Allah Ta'ala had shown you the reward of Alhamdu, right, the millions and the billions and the trillions would go. I just give me the sawab. But just that our eyes are blinded to that, so we don't know, we don't understand what it is, how great it is. Because we zalimna to chakai nahi. You never understand, you never taste this thing. Because you didn't taste it, so you don't attach the importance to it. But the moment you taste it, then it's a different thing. Now, you begin to understand that you can take the name of Allah Ta'ala at any time, any given time. So now, Allah Ta'ala is coming into your heart. The respect of Allah Ta'ala is coming. First, at the first level, what happens? You're overawed with His magnanimity, His greatness, His majesty. All that prevails over your heart. After that, ثُمَّ تَلِينُ جُلُودُهُمْ وَقُلُوبُهُمْ. Then you want to see, what are the commands of Allah Ta'ala? What He wants? Oh, my parents, I must respect them, I show them respect. Even sometimes, they may be a little bit demanding, etc. But that doesn't mean that I must lose it. They became a little bit demanding, they're seeing something is a little bit off. You know. But now, must I also show attitude to them, because of what they're doing? Must I say, you know, you're living with my mercy, my strength. You don't have any consideration, but you have that type of attitude. You show them respect. You do your work. But if you don't have the Quran, that means you don't have the respect of Allah Ta'ala, the magnanimity, the majesty of Allah Ta'ala, then can you have the respect of His commands? You don't have Him in your heart, you don't have His respect. Can you respect His commands? In the old days, they should send their children to England, Ireland, etc. to graduate and come back. So the child came back, they got a reception for him. He saw his father now. His father is India style, he calls it like a, you know, chadar or something. What do you say chadar? Shawl. A shawl. Shawl, he's got a stick for a lungi now. Simple style. So, now, he's got all his friends, all graduates and all that now. He feels a little bit embarrassed. Can now, what will they say, you know? So now he's addressing his father now. How he's addressing him? Well, Buddha, how do you do? One hand. How? The man is old. How he's addressing him? Well, Buddha. And again, he jerked his hand, that his hand got hurt. Now, he doesn't have the respect of Allah Ta'ala, so he won't have the respect for the commands of Allah Ta'ala. And then his father is like a scrap to him. He'll feel so disgraceful in the presence of his father. Now, where it's coming from? No respect. Of Allah Ta'ala, then no respect for his command, then look at the end of his behavior.